The Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for August is a visual Bible resource. Lutheran Bible Companion contains more than 600 photographs, illustrations, and detailed maps that bring to life biblical times. Find out more about Lutheran Bible Companion at issuesetc.org or call Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. Lutheran Bible Companion, The Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for August. Welcome back to Issues, Etc. Now, this is a subject that we have returned to several times. I've lost track of how many updates we have done in the last several months on the ongoing story of Mars Hill Church in Seattle and its senior pastor, Mark Driscoll. By now, both names should be familiar to our regular listeners. Some people might say, look, why do you talk so much about Mars Hill? Why do you talk so much about Mark Driscoll? Others might say Mark Driscoll has, yes, he's made his own bed and now he has to lie in it, but you're just beating a man when he's down. We're going to answer some of those objections and an update on Mars Hill Church in Seattle and its senior pastor, Mark Driscoll, and an organization founded by both that now wants association with neither, Acts 29. Chris Rosebro joins us on this Friday afternoon. He's pastor of Consvinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota, and he hosts the daily internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. Chris, welcome back.
Thanks for having me back, Todd.
Here are the two objections. One, why are you guys spending so much time talking about Mars Hill and Mark Driscoll? What's your response?
I think it's pretty straightforward on this one. Mark Driscoll is a man who, for many years, has put himself forward as a pastor to pastors. He's not just a local pastor. He's a guy who has taught many, many, many other pastors to follow the ecclesiastical model that he's kind of pioneered. He was an innovator very early on, especially during the early part of this millennia. And there are many churches that are modeled after Mars Hill that have taken their cues from Mark Driscoll, and many pastors out there who've planted evangelical churches who were coached by Mark Driscoll, and he still puts himself out as, you know, as a pastor to pastors. So this is not just some isolated thing. We're talking about a man who is a thought leader among many evangelicals, and many people do church the way that Driscoll does it, and that's why this is an important story.
Okay, the other objection is, you know, Mark Driscoll has obviously made many of these problems for himself, apart from what's going on at Mars Hill. His publishing scandals are well known. Charges of plagiarism that have been confirmed over and over again, and then buying a place on the bestseller list. That's another story there. But someone says, look, you're just beating the guy while he's down.
No, actually, that is not correct either. This isn't about somehow smearing a person's reputation. The issue is that the nature of the scandals and the nature of the abuse that people have suffered at the hands of Driscoll and the leaders at Mars Hill is of such a nature, and it's such a public thing, that because Driscoll hasn't done the biblical thing and stepped down, because the qualifications for a pastor given in Scripture are that he must be above reproach, but because he insists on remaining unaccountable, refuses to repent, and continues to be a pastor despite the fact that he has clearly disqualified himself from the pastoral office, what has happened is that it's actually created a problem, and that is that this is reflecting poorly on Christianity and giving Christ a bad name. But the other issue here is that the calls for his repentance are not being made by people who have Driscoll's demise in mind, but instead, Christian repentance is what's at the heart of this, and it's for his good, because if he continues to persist in impenitence with these sins and that just keep coming to light, then what's at stake is his very soul. And so this is a very important subject. This is a very important matter that's taking place, and unfortunately it's playing out in the public, but the reason why it is because Driscoll himself has forced it to be played out into the public.
Okay, what's the latest? Tell us about Acts 29. Well, there's a couple things here. First of all, I think there's been another apology from Mark Driscoll, but then also the latest is that an organization, Acts 29, wants apparently nothing to do with Mark Driscoll or Mars Hill anymore. Tell us about the organization.
Okay, well, let's start with the Acts 29 thing. This is a big deal. Acts 29 is a church planting network that was co-founded by Mark Driscoll. And several years ago, about 3 years ago, Driscoll himself stepped down as the president and director of the board for Acts 29 and handed the reins over to a very, very close friend of his in ministry by the name of Matt Chandler. Matt Chandler pastors a church down in Flower Mound, Texas, I think is the city that he's at. And Chandler is a guy who I have a lot of respect for. He's one of the few evangelicals who really preaches the gospel very well. He also understands the dangers of reading yourself into a biblical text, and I've also found him to be very fearless. He's actually at Stephen Furtick's Code Orange Revival a couple of years ago. He had the audacity and the boldness to actually preach against narcissistic eisegesis at the Code Orange Revival and preach the story of David and Goliath as being about Jesus. And so this is a man who I have a lot of respect for, and still at the same time I have concerns because the ecclesiastical model that the Acts 29 Network teaches is not the biblical model. So he's a little bit of a mixed bag. The reality is that he's a man who's worked very closely over the years with Mark Driscoll. If I can give you a kind of a metaphor, if you were to use a historical metaphor, if Driscoll were Wyatt Earp, then Matt Chandler is Doc Holliday. And for the Acts 29 leadership under Matt Chandler and for Matt Chandler to sign his name to a public statement calling for Driscoll to repent, saying that he is that Mars Hill and him are no longer members because he's committed, he's actually engaged in behavior that has disqualified him from the ministry, is huge. It is an absolutely ginormous story. And what it does is it sets the right example, it sends the right message, and it was done for the right reasons, for the sake of his repentance and for there to be forgiveness and healing for the people that he's hurt over the years. And, you know, Chandler knows a lot more about what's been going on behind the scenes and what you know kind of led up to this. And so for him to do this is really a big deal, especially since many of Driscoll's most vocal supporters through these scandals have been men who are in the Acts 29 network, and oftentimes they've been referred to as kind of like Driscoll fanboys. Well, for Chandler and Darren Patrick, and you know, for the two of them to break ranks like this and actually use their leadership position in Acts 29 to call for his repentance, call for him to step down, you cannot even begin to weigh the enormity of this situation.
So to put it in a nutshell, the current leadership of Acts 29 know probably better than anyone else what they're dealing with in Mark Driscoll and Mars Hill, past and present.
Yes.
So for them to say, please, we don't want to have any association with you, is more than just, you guys are getting terrible press and we don't want to get stained by it.
Right. That's correct. I mean, for them to act in this way and to make it clear that this is because of behavior that they have, that they are arguing is that this qualifies Driscoll from the pastoral office, and for them to even say that Driscoll's behavior is not conducive with repentance, but more along the lines of spin control and damage control, it's just huge. It would be like Saddleback Church, you know, basically calling for Rick Warren to step down. I mean, it's really kind of that big. It's really that huge.
What does it signal? Because one of the primary vehicles by which Mars Hill was able to exercise the kind of influence that it has had, and it's been tremendous influence across denominational lines, was Acts 29, a church planting organizations. What does it signal now for the future influence of Driscoll and Mars Hill in kind of the grassroots of evangelicalism?
Well, I think it signals this. If Driscoll doesn't step down, if he persists in staying the pastor at Mars Hill and doesn't seek the help that Acts 29 has publicly stated that he needs to get, it means that for for now, until Driscoll dies, he will be persona non grata within the Acts 29 network. He will always be the example of a leader who's been corrupted by power and other things, and in literally that will be the thing that is his legacy moving forward. But you know, based upon their desire to see him repent, to have him step down, and to seek help, if that is the route that Driscoll decides to take, it seems like there's some hope there that there can be redemption and a way for his legacy in some sense to be at least, you know, to be patched up. But at the current rate that they're going, they've made it very clear, they've thrown the gauntlet down and said, you need to step down, and you will have nothing to do with this, and you're basically writing what your legacy is going to be moving on in the future.
When we come back, we'll continue our conversation with Chris Roseborough of Fighting for the Faith. We're going to, I guess the tough question is, will Driscoll heed the call of, and these are people who very nearly are the closest things he has to friends nowadays, will he heed their call and step down? And if he does, what does that mean for Mars Hill? Stay tuned. Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Christ Lutheran, Jackson, Mississippi. Prince of Peace Lutheran, San Diego, California. Trinity Lutheran, Tryon, North Carolina. Our Redeemer Lutheran, Dallas, Texas. Calvary Lutheran, Yuma, Arizona. St. Paul Lutheran, Milford Center, Ohio. Peace Lutheran, Chehalis, Washington. Christ Lutheran, Noblesville, Indiana. Our Redeemer Lutheran, Lexington, Kentucky. And St. James Lutheran, Baltimore, Maryland. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print the one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support, the Issues Etc. 300.
Talk radio for recovering evangelicals. You're listening to Issues Etc.
The church's music from the second century.
Shepherd of tender youth, guiding in love and truth.
The sixth century. The 12th century. The 16th century. The 21st century. The best of the church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. We're getting an update on Mars Hill Church in Seattle and its senior pastor, Mark Driscoll. Chris Roseborough is our guest, host of a daily internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. Chris, what's on tonight for the listeners of Fighting for the Faith?
Well, we will be covering the latest news on the Driscoll front, but also we're going to be taking a look at Kong Hee, who's a mega church Word of Faith guy out there in Singapore, and take a look at how he's mishandling the story of the fall of the walls of Jericho.
You can listen to Fighting for the Faith in about, well, it's about 10 minutes, right after the broadcast of Issues Etc. at piratechristianradio.com. Chris, this is kind of always the flip side of everything. What Driscoll does to kind of get himself into trouble, what Driscoll does to try and manage the situation afterward, what's he doing now?
Well, just a couple of weeks ago, he actually put out a pretty lengthy video, 30 minutes long, that was addressed to the people at Mars Hill in an attempt to kind of talk about the current scandals and the controversies and things like that. And what I found interesting, I watched the video three times through, is that in 30 minutes he managed to talk about nothing. He didn't quite reveal anything that was significant, and he made a statement that really upset quite a few people. He acknowledged that there were former members of Mars Hill who were upset and somewhat disgruntled, but the issue is that he said that for the most part they're anonymous.
Yeah.
So one of the things he's kind of famous for is not addressing the issues that are coming up, not address them head on. And this upset many of the people who've been thrown under the Mars Hill bus, and that's the right way of putting it. And so they were so incensed that they ended up creating a Facebook group, which, I mean, literally almost overnight, you know, went from 0 to 500 members. And the name of it is I Am Not Anonymous. And last weekend, they actually protest outside of Mars Hill, their main campus there. And they were able to get coverage on the local Seattle media, and raise awareness and basically say we are not anonymous. We have names, and we've been hurt by Driscoll and the way his leadership team has treated us. More people who are former leaders at Mars Hill have come out and publicly apologized and repented for the things that they did while they were leaders at Mars Hill. I mean, the story continues to snowball, and his behavior, the way he's been handling the situation, is more along the lines of what you would see from a politician than from a pastor. He's engaged in spin control, kind of double speak, and other things like that, which is because he's a pastor and not a politician, it's not really working well for him. If anything, it's actually adding fuel to the fire.
The stories, I've been to that Facebook page, the We Are Not Anonymous, and the stories that are told there, this isn't just, I didn't like Mark Driscoll, he was abrasive, he and the leadership team were kind of meanies. There's some stories here that in any organization would qualify as kind of, I would put it this way, Chris, and correct me if I'm wrong, perverse meddling in people's lives, families, marriages.
Mm-hmm.
And genuine ecclesiastical abuse.
Yeah, I would agree with you. And over the years, I've actually spoken with many of the sad alumni of Mars Hill. And one of the frustrating things for me in speaking with them is that really sick feeling that I get when I ask them the question, are you in a church? Have you been able to get into a church? Are you continuing in the faith? And over and again, one of the sad things that comes up when I ask that question is these people say, I am done with Christianity, or no, I haven't found a church to go to. The pain that they feel, the betrayal that they feel, what they've gone through, I mean, many of them, they will no longer be even publicly affiliated as a Christian. I mean, that's the type, because of the type of abuse they've been through.
How do they get drawn into this? I mean, that's part of the story, too. How do they get drawn into a relationship with both Driscoll and this congregation that permits that kind of control, abuse, as I said before, just basic meddling in people's lives?
Well, I think you kind of have to go back in time a little bit and look at what it is that Driscoll represented. He was, in a way, this really top-notch innovator, but his innovations in ecclesiology and the way he was doing church all came from kind of a rebellious spirit, a rebellion against the way the church had done things in the past. And so for Driscoll was like the guy that everyone looked to because he was the one who pulled it off. He was seen as the most successful out of that group, and he represented how everybody else wanted to do it. If anyone wanted to be a seeker-driven church planter, had a heart for going and doing ministry in a brand new and innovative way, then Driscoll was always the guy that was held up as the one who everyone wanted to emulate. And so he was the rock star pastor of the moment for several years, almost a decade in reality. And so what his big draw were teenagers and college students who felt like they were transforming the church and making it better, and finally we can get away from stuffy old ways of doing church, which were seen as an impediment to the gospel and viewed as selfish and kind of irrelevant. And Driscoll was the guy held up as the guy who had pulled it off. He's the future of the church. He's the future of Christianity. And so, you know, there's a lot of idealistic, somewhat rebellious people out there, you know, who were young and wanted to, you know, wanted to depart with the way Christianity had done things in the past, and that's in a lot of ways how they were drawn to him.
So what do you say to two questions real quick with about 30 seconds apiece? What do you say to the pastor out there? Let's just take the kind of the average Lutheran pastor who thought Mark Driscoll was the best thing since sliced bread and has spent the last decade of his life trying to be Mark Driscoll in his Lutheran congregation. With 30 seconds, what do you say to him?
You need to repent, because Mark Driscoll's ecclesiology is not the ecclesiology revealed in Scripture. Pastors are not visionary leaders. They have an office that they hold, and there's duties associated with that office, and those duties have nothing to do with the ecclesiology that Mark Driscoll helped to innovate.
And what can we all across the church learn from the situation of the ongoing situation of Mars Hill and Mark Driscoll?
Real simple. Pastors are not rock stars, and you don't worship pastors. Pastors are to point us to Christ. They are sinful men who need to be held accountable just like any other people. And when you put somebody on a pedestal like that and you worship them, you create a cult of personality, you're off track and you're off focus. You're no longer preaching the gospel of Christ. You're preaching the gospel of the leader that you're following, and that's not what Christianity is about either.
Chris Rosebrough is pastor of Consfinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota, and he hosts the daily internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. You can hear it right after the live broadcast of Issues Etc. at piratechristianradio.com. Chris, thanks for being our guest.
Thank you, Todd.
Folks, you can also listen to Chris Rosebrough's presentation at our recent Making the Case conference. He was making the case against me-centered, misquoted scriptures, the very thing that were the bread and butter of many of Mark Driscoll's sermons, teachings, and books, and those who wanted to be Mark Driscoll. He was making that case at the Issues Etc. Making the Case conference. There's a new audio DVD of the entire conference, and we will send it to those who did not attend the conference for a contribution of $300 to Issues Etc. before Labor Day. Just click the DVD logo at our homepage, issuesetc.org, or make a $300 check payable to Issues Etc. Send it to Issues Etc., Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Be sure to write Conference DVD on the memo line of your check. The address again, Issues Etc., Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Monday on Issues Etc., Pastor Tom Baker will lead us in a Sunday school lesson on the baptism of Lydia. It's always a danger, isn't it, to replace Christ with the man that Christ has sent. I have no doubt that when things began for a guy like Mark Driscoll, there was a pastor there, a real pastor, shepherd of God's sheep, not a leader, not a visionary dreamer. But somewhere along the line, his ideas, his visions, his view of what the church ought to be began to look more like Mark Driscoll and less like Jesus, until eventually it appears even his parishioners couldn't tell the difference. And see what results? Not a loving shepherd, delivering Christ and his saving work, the forgiveness of sins and mercy and salvation to Christ's sheep, but something that looks, well, very human indeed. I'm Todd Wilkin. I'll talk with you Monday. Thanks for listening.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
The grace of God, the church's music, the Lord's Supper, every service, every Sunday, and Wednesdays too, preaching Christ crucified and risen. There is hope in St. Louis, Hope Lutheran Church, that is, 5218 Neosho Street, St. Louis, Missouri, or find us on the web at hopelutheranstl.org.
Bethany Lutheran College is pleased to sponsor Issues Etc. and Lutheran Public Radio. Bethany Lutheran College is located in the picturesque river town of Mankato, Minnesota, and is committed to making Christian higher education affordable for all with generous financial aid packages available. At Bethany, you'll find stimulating academic programs, a friendly atmosphere, and opportunities to grow both in intellect and in your faith, all within the framework of a supportive Christian environment. For more information, visit us on the web at blc.edu.